Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Super Deluxe Gamescast. It's Thursday, December 14th. We're almost into 2024. We are getting closer to the end of the year. Is this our last podcast for the year, Derek?
I don't think so. What's next week?
Oh, never mind. We got next week.
I keep thinking presumably have next week. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to start talking about our Game of the Year podcast.
We got to figure out a plan on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
How we're going
to
do it.
But glad to see everybody in chat. Glad you're all here. Derek, your hair is looking very stylish.
Yeah. It's hair.
it looks very good. It looks very good. I am now wearing glasses. I think they look pretty good.
Yeah, you picked a good set for your face shape.
Yeah. Good rectangular shape.
I agree. I think they look pretty good. And that voice you're hearing, Sam, fresh off of our annual live stream together of the Game Awards. Sam is here. Sam Tolbert from Windows Central. At this point, unofficial podcast member.
Unofficial Kramer is what I sort of like.
Six man of the year, Sam Tolbert. Coming off the bench.
We finally got to meet in person at the Final Fantasy 16 launch party.
We did. Took long enough, I'll say this.
It really took long.
Pandemic kind of threw a monkey wrench into plans there, but that was really cool.
You might be at PAX East next year, right? You might be in Boston.
I'm trying. I'm not counting on it. I'm trying, but...
you have to commit on air, sorry. You have to commit on air. John's like trying to trap you like that. What an asshole.
So we've got quite a bit to talk about tonight. Of course, we're going to open up with what we've been playing. We are going to talk about our thoughts on the quote unquote award show,
the Gamer Oscars
that we watched last week. And we're going to talk about, but you know what? To give credit where credit is due, there were some pretty interesting and cool reveals. At the Game Awards, there was literally, actually, like, to be totally fair to the Game Awards, there was something there for everyone.
Oh yeah,
except award winners.
Right. Minorities or
yeah. Hey, are you an up and coming minority that we highlighted as being a part of the future of this industry? We put you behind a fucking camera, Jim.
Like that.
I still can't get over that. Mr. Delaby in chat, wrap it up, please. So we are going to get into all that. We will go ahead and kick it off with what we've been playing. I'll go first because I'm going to be quick. I'm replaying Final Fantasy 16.
Big third surprise. After they dropped that DLC, of course they got you into it.
You fucking left during the fucking stream to go down. No shit, you're playing it.
I'm playing through the whole game again until I, and then I want to get the whole game experience again and then get into the DLC at the end.
Okay, so to be clear, you have not played the DLC yet then, John?
No.
Okay. All right.
Stolen Valor. I'm playing the whole game.
As old.
Okay. What's that?
What? Stolen Valor as always, not playing the DLC.
Jesus, I thought you said asshole. I'm like, wow. This escalated quickly. trust me, Dorian, we're gonna get into mana. That's what I play right now is Final Fantasy 16 for the third time this year, and it came out in June. Just want to point that out. Who wants to go next?
I can go real quick.
Derek, please.
So take a break from eating dinner way too late. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to do it off camera. So I've mostly been playing over the last week Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince.
Such a good game.
So
getting it?
I did. I thought I was going to wait for inevitable PC port. Because
I knew you weren't going to fucking wait.
Actually, here's the thing. I originally was going to wait. And the thing that tipped me, weirdly, well, not weirdly, is finding out that in Japan, the game is officially just Dragon Quest Monsters 3, which is a huge deal because 1 and 2 are a huge part of my childhood. I actually played way more Dragon Quest Monsters 1 and 2 than I played Pokemon on the Game Boy. So, and like, I've liked, you know, the newer games, but the fact that they were like, this is 3, motherfuckers, it was like, all right, you've got me. I'm also a huge Dragon Quest 4 fan, so the idea that it's a very explicitly Dragon Quest IV prequel that sets up a lot of that game is very cool. It's good. It is like rough, right? Like you can tell that this game does not run well at all.
I don't think it runs bad.
It runs bad in docked mode. It's very stuttery and juttery.
In handheld mode,
it's smooth, but it's like Vaseline, right, in terms of resolution. I mean, just technically, it's kind of rough, and it shouldn't be.
That's funny because I obviously probably Twitch compression. Like I was watching John play. I got it. I just haven't played it yet because I've been busy.
Yeah.
But like, it looks worse than Treasures, but I assume it's because the scale and scope is a little bit like
yes. And I will say that
I don't think it looks worse than Treasures.
It does, but the game is a joy to play. I love the like leveling up and raising mechanics. I love the synthesis. I like the core like loop of the game of like finding a new area. You got to go in and beat up the new boss baddie. That makes it easier for you to scout the monsters that live in that area. You know, they provide like a checklist so you can even see like which monsters, you know, here's like three you haven't encountered yet. They're just question marks. So you know when you're done, you know, if you're like an obsessive type and can move on. And it's worth doing that because constantly getting at least new, like scouting new wild monsters of different, like drastically opens up your synthesis possibilities. It's probably not like going to be a huge, like if you're a Pokemon fan, I think Dragon Quest Monsters is really good. I think it'll be a good distraction in lieu of a new Pokemon game. I do not think it is the best monster collecting game on the Switch. That would probably
it runs better than Scarlet and Violet. I'll tell you that much.
There's that. I still think if you're looking for the absolute peak of this genre, available on like most consoles, I'm gonna say it's Dragon Quest, or not Dragon Quest. It's fucking Monster Hunter Stories 2, which is just a much better RPG. Dragon Quest Monsters is really good, and it's given me some good nostalgia, and I feel great. Dragon Quest has, they just need a composer because it's reusing the same MIDIs that have been getting used in every Dragon Quest spinoff and title like since forever, and it's like it's just fucking time. What's his name died? I don't
Sugiyama.
Remember. Yeah, Sugiyama. Sugiyama's been dead. Like we can hire somebody to come in and write some new tracks. You can
also hire someone who doesn't excuse Japanese war crimes.
Right. We can orchestrate some new tracks, right? Like even just rearrangements of the old stuff. But it's literally reused completely the soundtrack. I don't think there's a single new track I've encountered so far.
No, but like it's literally all pulled right from the DS version of Dragon Quest IV.
I was going to say it's all pulled from like Dragon Quest Builders and Dragon Quest XI and stuff like that. But like, It is budget as hell. You can tell that these folks had no fucking money to make this game, and yet the people making it like knew what they wanted to make and had love for the like Dragon Quest as a franchise and for the Dragon Quest Monsters games and made a really good monster like collector monster battling game that just doesn't run great but is carried by its art style.
Eric. So this game is selling gangbusters in Japan because Dragon Quest Monsters is huge over
there. Yeah, it turns out you give it a big release, it'll fucking do well. Also, I cannot stress how much the Dragon Quest fan base is in it for fucking Psaro. Psaro is a huge character for Dragon Quest, so making him the main character was smart.
For anybody who doesn't know, he's actually the villain in Dragon Quest IV.
Yeah.
So Square Enix actually already said that Dragon Quest Monsters will continue, and based on the reception that this is getting in Japan, I'm willing to bet that whatever comes next is going to get a slightly bigger budget.
I think so.
Wasn't Treasures supposed to be a Monsters game?
It started, and that's probably part of it, right? Is Dragon Quest Treasures was a Monsters game at some very early point, and it divulged from that in terms of direction, but they were like, we still need to get a Monsters game out because we really wanted to have one out for the anniversary, so I think that it put them kind of behind on time and on money. Despite that, I think it's a really good game. I do not think it's as anywhere nearly as held back by its technical issues as, say, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is. Ends up on PC and PlayStation, like it's just gonna run great anyway. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Okay, CJ.
It's funny because I haven't been on in a while, and the things I do want to talk about at this point, I would much rather just save for the inevitable Game of the Year show. Okay. There's two very big things. I am very much looking forward to playing Dragon Quest Monsters. 100%. Yeah, like that's my Christmas like weekend like game.
You turning into a Dragon Quest fan has fucking revitalized me, man.
It's the best.
I love Nate. Look, the power.
You gotta
of
play
Toriyama.
Dragon Quest Builders too. You gotta play Builders
CJ,
too.
CJ, tell Derek about the DM you sent me today.
Oh my god, because there was a great tweet. I forgot who tweeted it out, so I can't give him credit. But it's like, you know, oh man, I wish I would have played Jared. The trajectory of my life would have been different if I would have played JRPGs when I was younger.
Jackson from Abnormal Mapping. Head falls off. Right.
So then it's like, you know, if I would have played FF8 when I was 11, my life would be much better.
Yeah, because I played FF8 at 11, and it changed my fucking life. Jackson's right.
I DM'd John, I need you to find a way to travel back in time to make me play Dragon Quest 8 on PS2.
Yeah, it would have fixed you.
It probably would have, because the only one I played, I've only played Paper Mario and A Thousand Year Door. That was stupid. I didn't know that was an RPG.
So CJ, you absolutely need to play Dragon Quest 8. Dragon Quest 8 is fucking hard.
I think the problem is, again, there's no way to play it on like a console. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like I don't
there
have 3DS.
Are ways around this, CJ.
Eventually I will. We talked about, eventually I'm going to get like a nice retro, like one of those handheld emulators. You know what I'm saying? If any of those companies are watching the stream and would like to send, I will review it on stream. But that's like the plan, right? But for now, whatever. I gotta go finish 11. I'll wait till 12 is out. I have the first three on Switch.
Yeah.
That I want to get to. I know those versions are kind of weird.
They're old.
They're old.
And they're very simple. I think
They're pre Final Fantasy, right?
Final Fantasy 1-3. They're all simple. 4, 5, 6, the SNES era are so good. The mobile ports really good.
DS ports of 4, 5, and 6 are the best in the franchise.
Those are the versions that are on mobile right now, and they're very good ports.
Look, if we got those Final Fantasy like ports to Switch, we'll get the Dragon Quest ones, I think. I think Square is just like, they're a little hesitant because like Dragon Quest still isn't as like big as it should be here in the West. I'm hoping stuff like Monsters, I'm hoping stuff like, I guess 12, I know it's going through some weird like development issue. I know, and then we're still waiting on that 3 remake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely gonna see more of that this in 20.
Oh, I hope that's
something's
like,
up with that game is all I'll
I
say.
Hope, man. Anyway, so as far as what I've been playing, real quick, I'll spend the segment talking about two things. One, I'm playing Avatar's Frontiers of Pandora. I love it. This is fun. It's pure junk food. I'm in Pandora. All the sincerity, all the things I love about the writing and the characters of Avatar are not present in this game at all. It fundamentally misunderstands everything good and like human and like sincere about like what a James Cameron character should be, in favor of just like the occasional Marvel like esque joke. And, you know, like, just the weird, like, Ubisoft style of, like, quest giving. You guys played, like, a Far Cry game?
Yeah, where it's just, or like, anything Ubisoft's ever made? Right.
Right. That's why I'm excited for Star Wars Outlaws, because I'm like, oh, wait, there's an actual narrative there. Like, they're actually giving you a character and narrative. Well, no, I have faith in. But, like, this is just, like, cool. It's the same reason why I love the modern Assassin's Creed games. It's a virtual, like, museum of sorts, except it's for a place that doesn't exist that I've seen twice in a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The big thing about Avatar 2, I remember like in theaters watching, it's just one of those things where you're like, oh, this doesn't exist at all. Nothing is like real on screen. You know what I'm saying? Like they're on, it's all digital.
CJ discovered movies.
Yeah, I know. The train came at me. The train came at me and I ducked.
Ran screaming from the theater.
No, but it's like one of those things where it's just like, you know, it's all digital in a way that like looks real, like, you know, like everything feels intentional, and that game nails that in a way that I don't think I've seen before. Look, I've seen New York various times. Spider-Man has no effect on me because I've been to New York.
Right.
Even like, and I'll talk about this later, but it's like, you know, like real places, like I can see that this is like something like I know that's, it's real in a way that I've seen, but I it's fully realized in like a really meaningful way, and I really appreciated that. The second thing I want to talk about, it's not a game that's out yet, but since we didn't have a proper show during its announcement, I gotta bring it up. GTA 6 looks incredible. Oh my god!
What little we've seen.
Oh my god! No, no.
Like GTA to me.
Look, 100% 305 till I die.
Do you understand how well that captured fucking Florida?
I was gonna say, like, say whatever you want about that.
I have driven past certain. Like, I've recognized like streets I've driven, getting to work when I used to work in Miami Beach. The skyline at South Beach, it's so accurate. You guys do not understand how emotional I got. They put Flanagan's in the fucking game. Flanagan's is like local South Florida chain. It's in there. They got it.
This is me at the end of season one of BoJack Horseman when Secretariat jumps off the fucking bridge that connects Louisville and Clarksville.
It's insane. Like the detail in this trailer, of course. We'll see what the full game is like, but it's like one of like the best versions of Miami in a video game. It's like Need for Speed Heat almost gets it. They have Bayside, they have the Kaseya Center, they have approximations of like Wynwood and stuff, but it's still not close. The Crew 2 is gross.
CJ, do we know what it's called in GTA? Because I know it's not
Vice City.
It's Vice City.
Oh, is it Vice City? Okay.
It's Vice City. Oh, I forgot the state's called.
The state of Leonida. Leonida, yep.
Okay. Oh, that is
such a
good
name. But it's Florida and it's Miami.
That is such a good name. That is such a good name.
Leonida?
Leonida. So it's like Juan Ponce de León, because Florida is named after a sailor. Oh, my God.
No, it's brilliant.
It's good. It's a good touch.
Oh, my God.
Worth pointing out, first female protagonist in a GTA game.
In a like reasonably modern GTA game, yeah, the first game had
no offense, no one cares about
the first GTA game. No one's played the original GTA games. Anyway,
yeah, like
nobody played a GTA before 3. So GTA
games.
Anyway, right. Like it's just one of those things where it's like, yes, it's another GTA game. Yeah, we're not getting this till 2025, if that.
It's okay. My most excited game is 2025 too. So.
Derek, this is not. I'm willing to bet this won't come out in 2025.
We'll see. Or at least they've been working on this motherfucker a long time.
I think it will. I think in 2025, that's a different discussion.
We saw leaked footage of this game like 2 years ago, didn't we? I mean,
it'll come out in fall.
And then the PC port in 2027.
September sounds good, is what I'll say. September sounds good.
It's insane that like again like something captures like Miami and like this like again that feels everyone like knows what it is. My cousins are texting me like, oh my god, like they got this. The fucking Kaseya Center is there. Do you know how much fucking lunacy I'm gonna get into after the Heat lose in real life? I'm gonna crash so many planes in that building out of pure anger.
This is the kind of shit that I liked. Like I'll be totally honest with you. Like I could care less about GTA, but knowing that something like this is so special to a friend of mine that I deeply care about, is that's the kind of shit that I like to hear. Like this right here is what video games are all about.
I
am legit happy for you.
I love Miami, as you can see.
I need to come visit you. Did we lose CJ?
We lost him.
Oh, no. He's lost in the sauce.
He's absolutely so awesome. Happy that he ascended to the astral plane.
I'm very happy it froze on that frame. Yeah, I'm very happy.
Me too. Sam, go ahead.
I will say, if I can briefly.
Yes, please.
Just because CJ brought this up, and this is a rare opportunity to plug other like little guys. He brought up seeing a tweet from Jackson at Abnormal Mapping, and for folks in our chat who are not familiar, I do highly recommend Abnormal Mapping. They're little guys, they're like way fucking bigger than us, but they are like relative little guys. Jackson and M are both like excellent. It's very insightful games criticism, even when I disagree with them about something, which happens a decent amount. I find their opinions at the very least fascinating to read. If you've been moved by me talking about how like art criticism is the sort of thing where you should be able to enjoy the process of picking something apart, even if you like the parts you like and don't like about something that you love, that's very much like what Abnormal Mapping's all about. So check them out. CJ will come back to us at some point.
He'll come back.
Yeah. He'll come back.
Sam, by the way, folks, I'm going to go get a beer while Sam is talking. So
he doesn't want to hear
it's
a single
I don't,
thing I have to say.
It's because I don't love you, Sam.
That's right. John, you're stuck here. So I've been playing a couple I've been playing a couple of different games. One of them I've actually been working on for review, but just it's an absolutely massive game, so I have not been able to get this out yet. Should be out this weekend. Hopefully, we'll see. But that's Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. And it is a turn.
I knew more about Warhammer, dude. Like, I could never get into it.
It's a lot. So as like a massive Lost in the Sauce Warhammer guy, it is a lot. It is not something to easily wrap your head around. The best thing to do is just find something that looks interesting and sort of just use that as an attack point and break in. Don't try and understand and digest the whole thing because you can't. But anyway, so Rogue Trader is very cool because it's a turn-based RPG. So everyone who liked Baldur's Gate, like, this is that. It's that with a lower budget, basically. And something it does really well that I've been enjoying a lot is it captures the writing in a particularly insightful way, where it's easy to just dismiss Warhammer as grimdark, and a lot of like the surface level stuff doesn't do that justice. It's just like very, oh yeah, everything sucks. But it's not about that. It's about how people are dehumanized in a particular way and how you're made cogs of a particular machine. And that is something that Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader does really well, while still giving you a lot of options for playing, like in a role playing capacity. So I'm really enjoying that. It's a very long, very large game. Yeah, if you're looking for another turn-based RPG to play, definitely recommend it. Definitely recommend that. The other thing I have been diving into that I'm not done yet with is the new Valhalla DLC for God of War Ragnarok. Yes.
I put really a few hours thinking about this, actually.
So yes, here's the thing. I want to praise the developers and writers of this, and I want to criticize the marketing folks. They did not sell this well at all. What they sold at the Game Awards with the trailer was like a roguelike mode. They that's what they sold. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is what we had in the first game in Niflheim, just now it's in Valhalla. That's not what this is. Folks, this is a story epilogue.
Oh, shit, it's like I get in this shit.
I loved God of War Ragnarok. I enjoyed it. I gave it a 9 out of 10 in my review. This is the missing final act for Ragnarok. That like completes the story and is diving in, and it's like, yes, there's roguelike elements of you know you're gonna die, you're gonna get reset, you have to go back in, your powers get reset, so you have to build yourself back up and get stronger. There's that good roguelike stuff, but that is not the focus. The focus is the story and certain characters who I won't spoil. That I'll tease that it's characters I wish had gotten more time in the main game, getting time here and picking at Kratos' brain, going, why are you the way you are? What is in your past? Have you actually accepted what was in your past? Have you considered all these other possibilities? Like, let's actually dive into the meat of that and tear your psychology apart. And I love it. It is absolutely, like, I'm not done yet, but unless it dives off a cliff, this is one of the best free DLCs of all time. They could have charged $10-$15 for this, and I would say it was well worth it.
You're actually, echoing sentiments I have heard from numerous people.
Yeah, no, it's excellent. It is absolutely excellent. The fact that it's free is just like, yeah, if you have God of War Ragnarok, I don't know what you're doing. Go play it. I don't want to spoil too much. I don't want to give the only teaser I'll sort of give is if, like me, you were disappointed about a particular character being relegated to a post-campaign cameo, play this. You're going to be very happy about some things.
I know which character you're talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's excellent. An excellent way to end the year. Kudos to Sony Santa Monica and one of their writers. I can't remember which one, so I apologize deeply, but one of their writers teasing today that this is not the end of the story has my brain scrambled. And R3 plus L3. That's the last thing I'll say. R3 plus L3.
It's always just going to be
accept the truth for me. All right, so we lost CJ. Hopefully he'll be back. He's trying to fix his internet. In the meantime, before we get into our big topics, there's just a couple of little news items I want to cross off the list, and we'll go quickly here. The Last of Us 2 multiplayer canceled earlier today. I don't think anybody's really surprised here.
I think we knew that was coming. I think it's a smart move because as they pointed out, like if they even ever released it, they would just have to put their whole fucking studio behind constantly updating that one game forever, and it would stop them from getting to make multiple single player games with the same resources. So why would they not stick with the thing that built the studio?
The only thing I'll add on to this that hasn't been said, and we can move on, is I think it raises some important questions for the other teams, considering PlayStation is really all in on this live service push right now. If I'm Insomniac, if I'm Guerrilla Games, I would be asking a lot of hard questions right now about what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. It turns out you can't turn all of your studios into the direction of throwing all their money into money pits.
Just a couple of the quick news items, guys. Creative Business Unit 3 has not fucking disbanded. Calm down. That's got to be one of the worst.
Game Rant and Game Rant alone misinterpreted an interview and claimed that CBU 3 was shut down. And no, it wasn't.
And everybody lost their mind for a minute.
I don't think many people believed it, because by the time we found it, like, we were already debunking it, like, in the replies. But regardless.
Yeah, come on, guys. We've got some breaking Nintendo news.
Every Thursday.
The demo for Another Code Recollection is now available for download.
Ooh.
So Derek, I figured that's something you'd be interested in.
You have my attention.
That you can download that right now.
I'm not going to, but I will when we're done.
Not right now, Derek.
That'd be a very John move.
Like I did with the Final Fantasy 16 DLC, you could literally go leave the podcast and download it.
That's what CJ did.
I think that's all of the small kind of news items that we wanted to get out of the way real quick. Let's go ahead and move on to the Game Awards.
Let's talk about the motherfucking Gamer Oscars that Sam joined us for last week. A 3.5 hour long monster of a presentation. There's my fucking boy, CJ.
Maybe. Is he here?
Yeah.
Is he here?
Yeah.
CJ,
we've never been more fucking back.
Yeah, we just started the Game Awards to talk. Like, we literally.
Oh shit, my internet's going out.
I'll tell you what. Let's focus on the positives first.
Let's start with the fun stuff, right? And we can get into the discourse after we talk about, because there were a lot of very fun reveals.
No, taking this as the entertainment value, I would argue this was probably the best ever. To give credit where credit is due.
It came at the cost of everything that it should stand for.
Right.
But
no, definitely. Yeah. But
may I go first?
Yes.
We have to just let me get this out of the way. Motherfucking Monster Hunter. Knowing that it was coming going in did not change a goddamn thing for me.
I was wondering though, Derek, but like by the end I was starting like, to worry.
But the thing is, Monster Hunter World is such a big fucking game. Like, first off, it's Capcom's biggest game ever. There are people this is a well remarked on thing that like Monster Hunter World was played by people who only play like COD, right? Like, it was big. Monster Hunter World like brought that franchise back and probably is really the thing that brought Capcom back. Because I think that's the release that started the turnaround for Capcom.
Resident Evil 7 was the year before.
Resident Evil 7 was the year before. But that's the thing. Monster Hunter World, along with Resident Evil 7, that's a 1-2 punch that really brought Capcom back from the brink. Monster Hunter Wilds, there's so little in that teaser, and it's so far away. 2025. I'm betting early 2025, but like the fact that we're not going to hear anything until summer.
Next summer, you're going to get like a big blowout.
We will.
That's
what they said. And it's because they want Dragon's Dogma to have like a fucking chance. They're different games, but people are going to see big, open, Western, like fantasy RPG, and they're going to compare them. You shouldn't, but
I have to ask. Did they release this or did they announce this a little too early?
No. I think it's fine because it's been so long since Monster Hunter World.
People have been worried and people know like that this game is coming. So I think Capcom wanted to get people's expectations set, right? Because every time that this game didn't show up at like anywhere, people were getting worried. So this lets them say, hey, here it is. It is real. Argue about a title screen for a few months. We'll be back in the summer. It's out in a year and a half, you know? So,
Derek, what were we able to glean from that trailer? Like, I know that it was short. There wasn't a ton of information there. You're not riding a Palamute. You're riding some kind of dinosaur creature.
So first off, we know that it is straight up a successor, a sequel to World. Maybe not a story sequel to World, but like story's not really the strong point in Monster Hunter games. But we see like the Scout Flies, we see the Slinger. Like, we know this is a World successor. We can see that they are not even doubling, tripling down on trying to build a breathing ecosystem. So this is not going in the arcadey, high-flying, like zippy, like wirebug combat of Rise, trying to be like an anime action game. They're really pushing for the very like naturalist, you know, there's these huge, you know, what's the word, like herds of monsters on screen, way bigger than anything we saw in World. They do move in herds. There's like the weather systems in interaction. The ending thing right where the title happens to tease that like weather and seasonal changes are going to be a big part of this in real time. And we saw
this an open world game, Derek.
I am going to bet that this is not a truly open world game, but I disagree with you. I think that they're going to be much, much larger zones than before.
Yeah.
So I think that your desert zone, your forest zone, your ice, like all those are just going to be much bigger areas. Because Hoarfrost Reach, which was the area that they added in Iceborne, was way bigger than anything else in World. And that to me is like everything in Iceborne and everything they did in all of the like post-launch updates, to me, is them signaling the stuff they're experimenting with for the future. So
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I think that this is...
I mean, also, like, Imran doesn't think that it is, and I tend to take his word at relative value, but...
I think that this is Monster Hunter's genuine foray into a real open world. And I'm going to throw out just, like, a little stupid conspiracy theory here, but the word wilds, to me, signifies something that is open, signifies something that is wild and highly explorable, much like
they're gonna want to capture that feeling for sure, and that's why they're focusing on
Breath of the Wild is what turns Zelda into a huge open world.
And here's my I'm not saying
the two are connected, obviously, but I'm at the point where that word wild brings connotations of a vast explorable space to me. If that makes sense.
I'm gonna be. You know what? It probably won't be open world because I think that since Monster Hunter's whole thing is multiplayer, I think they want to try to keep it as focused as possible. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's again, a lot of Japanese devs are like, they have some really weird, unconventional ways to like do like big multiplayer stuff. With the exception of like, I never played World, but I assume that one is like literally built to like be played with like other people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, every Monster Hunter game is.
But yeah.
But like, so I doubt they're going to do a massive open world. You know what I'm saying? Just for like balance and things like that. I doubt they can, right?
I just think that the regions are going to be bigger, right? They're going to be geographically much bigger, much more like they're going to build bigger ecosystems this time. Like, because Wild is there for a reason, right? They're building these living, breathing, interactive ecosystems with herds of animals that interact with each other in unusual ways, and the way weather changes things, and like they're gonna really, really focus on the stuff that World tried to feel like, which is like stepping out of camp and into, you know, a breathing ecosystem. I mean, granted, like, you know, we've seen fucking nothing. But also I did threaten, if Lagia Cruz doesn't come back in this game, then I'm gonna drink three of the fucking Panera charged lemonades and get on an airplane and make it somebody else's problem.
Are those the lemonades that like literally will fucking kill you?
Yeah, so there's
like the FDA cites the caffeine, or
the FDA cites the like daily tolerance of caffeine for an adult human to be 400 milligrams, and one large Panera charged lemonade has 390 milligrams. So they went for the limit and then they went down 10 milligrams. So
how was that even?
Cause it's not past the max. And if somebody wants to drink three, that's their problem.
I mean, it's you know, but yeah, no. So I think, obviously
I'm going to be very abnormal about this fucking game, but we've seen very little.
We've seen very little of it.
I need that summer reveal.
that region we saw looked it was kind of an arid looking.
It was like
region.
A savanna kind of.
Yeah. Derek, what in the so I'm not the monster hunter guru that you are. I did see, like, one of the things that stood out to me in that Monster Hunter trailer was there was a really cool design of a monster that had, like, lightning rods on its fucking back.
Yeah, that looked like it was, like, part of, it was one of those herbivores, but there's, like, a few of them that have, and I don't know if they're meant to be, like, a herd leader or something, but they have, like, big spines that acted like a lightning rod during the storm.
We saw a Rathalos.
We did see a Rathalos briefly. We did see like a pack of bear-like creatures that seemed to be inspired by a monster from Rise called Gossarag.
Gossarag. Yeah.
You know, it's. But I mean, we
don't
know.
What else did you see, Derek? Like, did you see anything else that was vast and like recognizable?
No,
or
no.
What
man.
Do we think that thing he was riding was?
What's your new mount?
What's that?
It's going to be something new, but it's the new mount.
I know it was a mount.
It's a chocobo.
But it's like, looks like a dinosaur.
Yeah, it's clearly inspired by an Archaeopteryx, but...
Here's my question. I've got the most important question so far. Are they going to be able to top the food cooking animations?
Yes.
From Monster Hunter World?
Of course. Yes. They have like... 3% of the budget set aside just for the cooking animations.
Oh, here's the real question. What's the first outrageous collaboration they're going to do?
So here's the thing.
Apex Legends.
No.
Oh my God.
I don't think Fortnite. They're going to have... Now, they may have like little event things where they get like armor that's inspired by. Like they
that's
do
what I'm
Horizon.
Saying. Like,
okay.
But they are not... Will the Chris Pratt Garfield be a Palico?
Yes.
Fucking you absolutely. Don't know. But I don't Normal think Palico. That we're going to see... collaboration monsters like in right. World we got you know the Leshen from Witcher and we got Behemoth from Final Fantasy 14 and I just don't think you're going to see any more of those.
You play as Ryu.
There's time. Actually going to be a crossover with the MCU and you're going to get Rocket as a mount in the game.
Ooh,
he's so little.
What are you, Palico?
No, he's a raccoon.
We didn't see
a Palico in the trailer, man. I don't know.
I didn't see any Palicos in the trailer.
I think we'll get a Palico.
They're going to come back buff. They're going to be like, fuck you. This is your grandpa's Monster Hunter.
These cats are
sexy, and they hit the gym. Yeah, and they fuck.
Palicos are here.
We already had the Meowscular Chef, all right? Nobody fucks like the Meowscular Chef.
Fucking mana, guys.
Visions of mana.
Oh yeah,
visions of mana. So we saw that this was.
I'm proud that I called out that it was mana before you did.
You did. No, you absolutely did. So all right. So here's the thing. When this was first, like when we first saw that trailer, I thought it was Fable. Because you know Jeff was like, you know, oh, it's a world we haven't visited in a long time. The reason I didn't even pick up on mana was because. This was the last place I would expect like a new mana game to be announced.
Much
right?
less, holy shit, a new mana game that has that much money behind
this
it.
This motherfucker's Whoa. Got a budget.
Oh my God. It doesn't look like a budget like Square Enix
this
game released in the middle of the year.
This game ate the budget of every other Square Enix release of the past 3 years not called Final Fantasy. Holy shit.
This game got a fucking budget and it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, Even if you're not into Square Enix, even if you're not into the mana games or action RPGs, no one can deny that this is a beautiful fucking game.
Gorgeous.
Oh
game.
Yeah.
And I could not be happier that we're getting a brand new. It has been 13 years since we've had a new entry in the mana franchise. Remakes
wow.
don't count. It has been 13 years. Dawn of Mana was the last, and that was on the PS2. There were a few Vita ports, but again, like the first actual no bullshit new entry in the franchise is Visions of Mana. And they've been tweeting about it. Like the Twitter account has been tweeting about, you know, some of the story. The main character's name is Val, and you know, he is you know, it's standard mana stuff. Like, you know, he's making a pilgrimage to the mana tree to protect his friend who is, you know, some kind of, you know, been chosen by the fairy, which is a recurring element in the mana franchise. I got to tell you, I am legitimately stunned at the budget this appears to have because mana is
it's
not
insane.
Like Final Fantasy, right? Like it's a smaller, a much smaller franchise for Square. It's a franchise that they generally have kind of kicked to the wayside. I mean, you know, again, like, you know, the last mainline title was 13 years ago.
Actually, John, I just looked it up. It wasn't 13 years ago. It was 17 years ago, bud.
17 God years.
Damn
okay.
it, that hurts.
Wow. Yeah.
Even fucking longer. Was I right, though? Was it Dawn of Mana?
It was Dawn of Mana, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, I was like, I know it's Dawn of Mana.
No, definitely.
But that image of Val standing in front of the mana tree and that logo with the fucking gradient in the middle of it, just, you know, the fact that in 2024 I am more excited about this than I am Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, because, you know, we just got Final Fantasy VII Remake a couple years ago. We all know Rebirth's gonna be awesome, right? Like, I mean,
and
come
it's
on
gonna be
it's
in
not
the,
gonna
the middle child and what is hopefully a trilogy and not four right. or five games, but
right. But a new Mana game after 17 years,
that's pretty crazy.
One that looks like it got a ton of money poured into it, that is the shit to get me excited.
That's pretty wacky,
that's the
dude.
Shit that I am looking forward to next year. And CJ, Mana games are traditionally multiplayer.
That's
so what I want to see from Square is like some drop in, drop out multiplayer.
That'd be sick. That'd be like a cool, like, again, if they did like a dungeon crawler style, like just coming in and out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I cannot, like, Derek, when was the moment you realized this was a Mana game? Like, because, I mean, you caught on to it very early.
I can't tell you, like, what specific moment it was, but it was, like, it was just the art style. Like, it clicked to me that I was looking at a Mana game. Like, I don't know how to describe it. And, of course, then we saw the tree, and it was obvious, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah,
I had to see a person. I had to see a person's face, and, like, I realized I looked like I was looking at 2D, like, Mana artwork, but made into 3D. It was just like, this is what this is, obviously, so...
Yeah, as soon as I saw the character running around, I was like, oh, yeah, that's some Mana-ass shit right there. It's just very Square Enix, very Mana. I could not fucking believe it. That
man, we lost.
Was absolutely the high point of the Game Awards for me. That was absolutely yeah. the fucking. Did you guys lose me for a minute?
Just for like a second. It's okay. We got what you're saying. That was
absolutely the high point of the Game Awards for me. Was Visions of Mana, by far. It nothing comes close. I could not be more fucking. God, I'm so happy. Shit. Like,
I'll tell you what, man. Game. Like, Mana is not a franchise I really have any connection to, but that thing looks so good just on how it looks alone. If it has drop-in, drop-out co-op, I will gladly party up with you.
Oh, my God. Like, me being, like, anything that looks like straight from the PS2. Straight up. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Come on. Like, day one. 100%.
CJ, I mean, it looks way prettier than a PS2 game, but like...
That's what I'm saying. No, but I'm saying like it could exist. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, the concept of the game is like a gameplay, like, design philosophy that could have existed on PS2.
Exactly. Yeah. With the cel-shaded art style.
That, I mean, like, a great way. Yeah.
Like, with a good art style, I'm all in. You know what I'm saying? With what I hope is like the most streamlined, like, you know, action RPG element. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
give me the most basic RPG, like... elements elevated by like the art style. I'm all in. It'll be a time sink, 100%.
And you know, the last thing I'll say is you know, just like this, you know, you got this, you got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, like the first, I would assume that this is a spring game, Visions of Mana.
Say it was 2024.
Yeah, 2024. Okay. I don't think they're gonna send this out in the fall.
I was thinking summer, but like, you know.
Spring, summer. That's a strong first half of the year for Square. And we don't know what else they have coming either. I absolutely could not be. And I hope that this is a sign that other franchises, other classic Square franchises that have fallen along the wayside over the years will finally get the money and attention and the kind of revival that they deserve. I hope this is the beginning of that. Because I'd love to see something like Parasite Eve or Vagrant Story continued as well. Yeah. So yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. That was my high point of the entire show.
Let's talk about fucking Sega coming back. Just Sega slamming their meat down on the table for everyone else to worship. Holy shit.
I was not expecting that.
So
I was not fucking excited.
When that thing, that trailer started, I'm like, okay, it's probably gonna be another mobile thing.
You know, I thought it was gonna be like another like game, I like hardware. It was Virtua Fighter.
Well, we were all joking it would be like a new Dreamcast Mini or a Dreamcast 2.
I would have loved CJ.
100%. I would have sold my PS5, my Xbox, and my Switch to buy a new Dreamcast. What are you talking about? If they would have found some way to resurrect like the old the original NBA and NFL 2K games on the Sega Sports like label, straight up, you will not catch me doing it. I'll become a fucking Final Fantasy Online nerd. I'll play anything. If you, oh my god, like 100, fuck it, I'll play Shenmue, I don't care. I'll
play this boring ass piece of shit.
I'll put myself through that.
I do forklift certified.
100%. But no, yeah, it was better. It's like, so they confirmed that they're working on new entries in the Jet Set Radio series, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Crazy Taxi.
Crazy motherfucking Taxi.
Streets of Rage. So it's like all these old, like, what, these staples in like different eras of Sega, right?
3D Streets of Rage
and trademarks for Kid Chameleon and Alex Kidd,
Afterburner, Outrun,
Altered Beast,
Altered Beast
was a big
Monkey Ball.
Which, of course, you know, Altered Beast and Eternal Champions are terrible fucking games, and nobody should play them.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact they could make something good now, like.
Imagine like the sickest brawler, like, you know, God of War style brawler.
Look, they won't make a new Bloody Roar, so the furries have to eat somehow.
So there are other Sega games I'm hoping that they visit, like Phantasy Star. I don't mean the online game, I mean like the actual.
Right. I'm sure they will at some point, like that, you know.
Phantasy Star's not dead though. Phantasy Star Online 2 has been a thing for like ages. I know that's not a new, like, we want like something new, but like.
Shining Force is another one they can bring.
I think Shining Force could be like the PS5 like fire up. You know what I'm
saying?
I
think they're focusing on titles that they can make smaller games with. Because like Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, those are not going to be like $70 AAA titles. They're looking
for Crazy Taxi for that matter.
Right. They're looking for franchises that they can make indie style releases out of. And I think that's brilliant because guess what? Not every old series needs to come back as a $70 AAA prestige game.
Like, no, especially like the Dreamcast was interesting because of the console that gen. Oh, hell yeah. But look, of all that, of that generation, the Dreamcast is basically a home arcade.
Yeah,
you're getting like, you know, in terms of like graphics and in like experiences, which sure might rub a lot of people the wrong way. But it's like, no, you're getting like really good, pristine, like excellent arcade quality. That's kind of what I want. I want a new Jet Set Radio. That's just Jet Set Radio. Right.
Yeah.
I want a new Crazy Taxi. That's just Crazy Taxi. Don't give me a story mode. Don't give me some weird like online. No, just give me Crazy Taxi. Outrun. Do you think Sega will be like crazy enough to go license out Ferrari again? Oh my god, if they got the Ferrari license again, if they re-release the, what was the one from the PSP one? Coast to Coast and Outrun 2 from, are they the same game?
I just know the original, man.
Here's one for you. I want them to do a new Vector Man. Because if you've never played Vector Man, that shit
Vector
is
Man was garbage.
Awesome.
Fuck you, dude.
Are you serious?
Vector Man's not a good game if you go back and play
Vector Man is literally remembered as one of the greatest Sega platformers.
It's super memorable. It's not a good game.
How about this, you fucking Philistine? How about Nights into Dreams? A new one.
That seems more likely.
Hey, they could finally make a good one.
I never played the original. I never played the Wii port. But no, but it's like,
ignore
it's great.
Derek.
And we talked about right before recording, Sam brought up a good point. Like, this probably means we're not going to get like a new Sonic for a while. I think Sonic, like,
Sonic needs a fucking break anyway.
It needs a break. Look, Frontier is perfect way to cap off like what is arguably the greatest era for modern
Sonic.
Let's
not acknowledge Superstars.
We will, because I reviewed it very positively. Go read my review. But it's like back to back, two big Sonic games in two different styles, right? So we're good for now.
It's going to be a good one, Dorian.
You know, we had a re-release of the Monkey Ball game back in 2019. We had a really good, you know, series of like remakes in 2021. So it's like, I would much rather take the L. We're probably never going to not get a Yakuza game or a Persona game, right? Like, they're going to come out like every other like month.
That's just different. Those studios, they're not going to tell the Yakuza studio to like, hey, can you stop and make us a comic zone?
Imagine if they went back and they're like, the Yakuza studio's like, all right, we're stopping production on Yakuza. We're just getting Monkey Ball games again.
They made the mistake of telling the strategy studio to make an online shooter, and thank God that's been course corrected.
You know what? They told the strategy studio to make a survival horror game, and then they did make the best survival horror game ever made. So.
You know what? Fair enough. I can't disagree. Still different than a service game, though.
That's true.
Anyway, like I'm excited. I'm excited that Sega's back making games.
Yep.
Right.
I still would like either a Dreamcast Mini or a Saturn Mini.
Or not like, even a mini. Just re-release those damn games, bro.
Re-release fucking the Panzer Dragoon games. Like Jesus Christ.
Stop re-releasing Genesis games, Sega. We get it. We had a whole compilation on Switch. Then we had the online portion like added to this. We get it. The Genesis is cool. Sure, why not? If you didn't have a Super Nintendo, I guess. I would much rather see Saturn and Dreamcast games.
The fact that the Panzer Dragoon games are not available for everyone to play is such a goddamn Greek tragedy.
It's weird.
I think there's no remake of the Panzer Dragoon, though. I know it wasn't great, but it's like it's there.
No, they're not great, but no, dude. Everybody who likes RPGs needs to play Panzer Dragoon Saga. It's one of the fucking greats of all time.
Sega won the show for me. But
there are other Sega games locked on those Skies of Arcadia. Like, I mean, where the fuck is Skies of Arcadia?
They came in and they put their meat down on the table. And I do think that, like, the through line here is. They found a way to bring back a bunch of their old franchises as indie style, like presumably $30-$40 releases. And I think that's very smart because it's I'm assuming they're contracting with a lot of little teams. But like, good. Just fucking do
great.
It.
And it's like, well, we've had this resurgence and like wave of like indie imitators of like, look, we have Bomber Cyberpunk. We had this really bad Crazy Taxi clone a couple years ago back. It's like, okay, we'll come back.
The real shit with supervision. Yeah. Just do it.
100, 100. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope all those trademarks, something comes out of them, right? Like, I hope, like, what we get, even if the worst case scenario, it's all for, like, compilations or something.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, new games. You know what I'm saying?
I wish that, like Capcom, Nintendo, and fucking Namco would do the same thing, right? Like, guys.
Namco, what? They did one, they have, like, 50 Namco museums a year. And bro, then
Namco got people working in the fucking mines, dude. Just
support Dig Dug. Just support Dig Dug to a new console. They're like, fuck, we're putting Dig Dug on another console, guys. Wake up.
No, dog, you don't get it. You're going on the fucking Nintendo subsidized support team.
Mario Kart. There's a Mario Kart game coming. You better learn.
What else did we see announced at the Game Awards?
Fucking Blade.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Blade by Arcane. We saw nothing, but like, I'm in. You've got
everything.
Sam, please tell us about Blade.
Yeah, so this is it's being done by Arcane Lyon, and for anyone who doesn't know, there's actually two Arcane studios. That's the French one that did Dishonored 2 and Deathloop. A lot of the same people, especially like a lot of the artists and a lot of the level designers who worked on those two games are working on this. And
they're getting another shot.
They've been working on, they've been working on this for about a year, I think. So November, October 2022, which is when they released the Xbox version of Deathloop, because that was a PS5 timed exclusive and all that, because ZeniMax was having some financial troubles a couple of years ago. So it's still early in development, but evidently they came to Marvel with a pitch and Marvel said, like, hell yes, this is perfect. And they have said a couple of things. It is third person, which is a big departure for them.
Yes.
They've always done first person games before, and that's going to take some work. It's going to be interesting to see how their designers who have been working on all these first person games for literally decades now are going to be adjusting and making like third person, because the design is different. You have to
change your level design. You have to change your counter design.
There are some games like, you know, like BGS does first and third person, but that's very hard to do. Not easy to do.
Try playing Skyrim in third person mode. Like, it's dog shit.
People use it for walking around. It's for walking around and taking screenshots. Exactly. So I'm very curious how that works, but I mean, I think it makes perfect sense. The game is set in Paris, and it's going to be like a quarantined, walled off section that is being infested with vampires that are coming out. So there's like mandatory curfews for people to go inside. Give me the Daywalker. Come on.
It's time.
I don't know a lot, but that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
So there is one point of confusion that, like, is this or is this not Xbox exclusive?
Yeah.
Because
it's going to be
Xbox and PC, but like, yes.
Yes, but I mean,
this will not be on PlayStation.
Because, like, I think it was Arkane who was asked this. Somebody involved in the game was asked, is this Xbox exclusive? And then they were like, talk to Bethesda.
They're not announcing platforms right now because they don't know if this is going to be a cross-generation game or not.
Okay.
They're not saying Series X and Series S and whatever, because there might, maybe, I don't know for sure, but there might be another console at that time that they have.
This is why I wish Spider-Man was multi-platform, because then you can make Blade multi-platform and literally build just like a shared fucking universe.
There's an interesting conversation to be had there, because on the one hand, like a shared universe would absolutely be cool, especially because the naming convention is right there, right? Like Marvel's everything. So there is that. On the other hand, like, I know teams like Arkane and especially Insomniac, they have dedicated workflow pipelines where they're very used to working on one set of tools. Insomniac was the first studio given the PS5 dev kit. Like, Mark Cerny literally went to them and said, hey, how do we improve this? They're the ones who were giving feedback on the SSD and all that. So there are advantages to, like, having things the way they are. I get it, though. Like, I think in an ideal world, all licensed stuff would be multi-plat, but that also isn't what it is. So,
then all the Marvel-like licensed games would have to also be in the same universe as Midnight Suns, and none of them want to have to fucking be as cool as
that
Midnight Suns.
That is a darn good point. Never mind. It's not
Midnight Suns
not
is simply puts all the rest of this shit to shame. So,
all right. Well, you're forgetting Lego Marvel Superheroes.
So first off.
Yes. All right. You know that picture of, like, the guy kneeling in front of, like, the giant, like,
yeah.
It's like Midnight Suns, Marvel Spider-Man, Blade, and then up it's like a Marvel superhero.
Yeah. God, I just wish we'd get Midnight Suns 2 fucking zombies, but no.
It's not going to happen.
So.
All right. So which studio was going to be brave enough to make a Hulk game? Let's go. Let's get that. Let's go.
There actually was a really good Hulk game on PS2 called Ultimate Destruction.
Yeah, that's
the one everyone thinks of.
Yeah,
unironically, let DICE, the Battlefield devs, let them just use their destruction tech and make a Hulk game.
I would say Volition, but
Sam, you want some real big brain shit right here? Let Black Era Criterion do this.
Okay,
Let them do that or a Punisher game. Let them do that. Like, let's do, like, gun porn Punisher in first person.
I want a fucking Moon Knight game.
So, I want to talk about stuff that did, because we are tight on time here.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff that did get revealed. I want to give a shout out to Harmonium, which was this wonderful looking
musical platformer.
Yeah.
Oh,
with the deaf
protagonist.
Like, you know what? I don't know a goddamn thing about how this game plays. I assume it's like a retro adventure game because it's The Odd Gentleman, and that's what they're mostly known for working in that genre. But, like, it just looks, it's incredibly fucking charming, right? And in the midst of talking about all of our big turbo nerd fucking giant franchise shit, it is cool to see, like, small, earnest titles, you know, get that kind of stage. It's one of the few things I really have to give it to Jeff Keighley, is that they do always make sure that there's quite a few of these much smaller titles that get to share the stage.
That Don't Nod game.
If we one thing, I guess it'll be that.
I don't have to give him anything. Yeah.
What was the Don't Nod game called again?
It's like that 90s one. Was it called like
Lost Records, right?
Yeah.
But it's just just fucking teenage lesbians in the 90s. Something happens, and we're gonna find out about it after the fact. I don't know.
Like, I'm down.
Don't
like, it's
Nod
like, well,
making a
stuff.
Very gay game. I'm in.
Don't Nod has stuff, a formula though. So
yeah.
Like, even what is even like stuff that we've known about, like Rise of Ronin. As much as disappointed as I am that it's a roguelike, not a roguelike, Souls like, it still looks cool, right? It's like, even I'm trying to think, like even like the abundance of like sci-fi shooters doesn't take away from like the cool stuff they got announced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Windblown, the new game from the Dead Cells team.
Oh,
that 3D roguelike. I think it looks really good.
One,
really,
right?
Yeah, yeah, with the weird little furry buddies.
It's not my thing, but I'm glad it's there.
The axolotl boy. It's like an action roguelike. I kind of have to try it. Like, I have to. So, like, these are all so, like, I'm in, like, Death's Door. Like, you had me. You know what I mean? It's Dead Cells. Dead Cells was so good.
We didn't see any. There was no Vin Diesel. No. No.
Thank
Arc
fucking
two.
God.
What, no, well, who won bingo? Did anyone win bingo?
I didn't do bingo, and I should have.
I didn't win bingo.
I win.
Yeah.
You got it. Did you mark it? You know, like, I need you to show me your card.
I will show you after this.
Please. Oh my God. All my hard work is validated.
So it is important. I think it's important to point out who wasn't there showing any games. That was Nintendo.
Yeah, which is unusual.
Which is a break for them.
Weird.
Have something.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's DLC or like a game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Even they had a big Zelda trailer. I mean, yeah.
Smash reveals happened
Nintendo was not there at all. So
spoiler alert, they're bundling up for a big presentation next year.
They have a very big presentation and some shit to reveal coming up. Yeah. So.
Yep. What's going to happen is that they're in January. We're going to get a direct, and they're going to announce the Switch 2, whatever the fuck they're going to call
it. Everyone who just bought a Nitro deck will be pissed.
And it'll come out a lot sooner than anyone thinks it will.
That motherfucker's hitting in summer. Watch.
Yeah. That or spring, because I mean the time between the announcement of Switch and the release was like 4 months.
So if it comes out in spring, then I can't go to PAX. I'll be paying for a Switch suit.
Listen. The fact that PAX is happening like as Dragon's Dogma 2 launches, Dogma 2 launches while I'm in Boston.
Oh, that sucks. You're in Boston.
Yeah, I did fucking suck my whole dick. The fact that I'm choosing to still do PAX is really like
that was literally me at PAX East this year for Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I feel like Nintendo's absence was notable, and we all know it's because, like Sam said, they are keeping their powder dry for a massive direct that we're going to see in January, where we're going to see the Switch 2, we're going to see a bunch of launch titles. I am sure that you're going to see like a 3D Mario or something.
Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
It's finally time.
Yeah. Which I think will be a cross-gen game, Sam, personally.
Probably. It wouldn't shock me if they've just moved it entirely to the new one. It wouldn't like shock me, but
yeah, no, this is absolutely, they were not there for a very particular reason, Sam. Yeah. And I mean, the writing's on the wall here, right? Like it's time.
Oh yeah.
And I'm willing to bet that direct is coming in January, Sam. What do you think?
January, or February. They could do February. And like, I mean, that's at a certain point, that's a distinction without a difference. The last week of January, the first week of February, like it doesn't matter, but it'll be early.
Here's my one question, and then we'll move on to the other aspect of the Game Awards. Will it be backwards compatible, Sam?
I think so. I've doomed and gloomed about that in Discord and had fun with that. In all seriousness, I think even Nintendo understands they can't do what they've done.
Suicide. It's like it would
be destruction. Even Nintendo understands that they'd just be throwing away.
Right, because it's like
7 years.
This is what their biggest success since the Wii. This is basically the Wii 2 in terms of impact.
I mean,
right,
this is more successful than the Wii.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So it's like the Wii, and they were banking on the Wii U being that, right? They're like, okay, it's the Wii but better. You can play Wii games. All your accessories work. We just added a bunch of new features. Didn't work. Pan out for them. So they went back to the drawing board. They basically have another Wii on their hands. Yep. If they fuck up anything ever so slight, they're gonna call this the Switch 2. They're gonna save themselves some trouble. You know what I'm saying?
They need to call it the Super Nintendo Switch.
No, because then
the Switch Advance.
That's the Wii U problem. They're gonna shoot themselves in the foot. They just call it the GameCube 2.
Heck yeah.
There you go.
I think they'll do the smart, correct thing here. Also, the writing is on the wall. They will see the trends. They've seen how things have worked out. though. Doesn't mean they aren't going to sell like some remastered games. Like, you better believe they're going to be selling a version of Tears of the Kingdom that's like 60 FPS, and that's the only difference. You better believe it. But nah, they'll have backward compatibility.
So let's talk about what we didn't see at the Game Awards, and that is acceptance speeches. We didn't see a whole lot of acceptance speeches at the Game Awards because they were given about maybe what 30 seconds to talk.
They were given 30 seconds before they started playing the like wrap it up music.
Well, Derek, let's point out we're just talking about the awards that were not handed off in little like right. You know, oh, by the way, blah 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 here.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, even if like best RPG just it's being relegated to like, oh yeah, by the way, here's the winner. It's like, guys,
in a year where like one of the games nominated for your award is an RPG, in a year where a mainline Final Fantasy game came out, you're going to relegate this to a yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Multiple people, awards winners who did not speak English as their first language or at all, yep. You know, being told to wrap it up within 30 seconds. Somebody
who was talking about their team member dying was told to wrap it up in 30 seconds.
A woman like, was played off.
I don't remember who they were, but the one guy finished what he was saying, then the woman goes to the mic and immediately they play off. And
Jeff Keighley, you hate women. It's official. Well, yes, it is right there.
Fucking
it is right there. If you are a woman or a POC, you are not safe around Mr. Keighley's stage.
Hey, Kojima's not white.
That's true. Yeah,
so
everyone has a token. Everyone, somebody, you guys have me. He has Kojima. So
somebody has. Let's be fair. Finn's our token. somebody calculated all of the actual time like that awards like acceptance got. And it was 11 minutes, and I'm pretty sure Kojima got more time than that just to come out and talk about his animated GIFs of Sophia Lillis and Hunter Schafer. Like,
I am so tired of fucking Jeff Keighley's massive Kojima boner.
At the expense of, like, again, like it's
at the expense
that respect
of winners. At the
does
expense
not
of
go
people.
To everyone else. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Again, oh, talk hey, about the future
friend,
class.
My friend Jackie in chat.
Yeah. But like again, let's talk about the future class, right? These are people who like
where Keighley, was the future class?
Keighley, right, like made this big deal in past years about the future class is like these are the future of the industry. Look, like we're gonna promote diversity. Like and what it is he wanted like good boy points, right? He wanted to use that as a shield from criticism.
Behind the fucking broom.
Right. And then I'm telling you. I am not convinced that that is not retaliation for the fucking letter. Because, of course,
you know what,
as many
dude,
of you
I
know,
thought about that.
Close to half,
I hadn't thought about that.
Close to half, it might have been over half of the future class, again, people who were selected by the Game Awards, right, as the future of the industry, signed this letter that really, really wanted Keighley and the Game Awards to acknowledge Palestine the way that previously, like, the war in Ukraine had been acknowledged. The only acknowledgement they got, hilariously, is Keighley did pop back into the Future Class Discord for the first time in over a year, only to post a 2-second audio clip of pure silence and then dip again. So, like, it's probably not on purpose, but it looks so fucking bad that that's what it looks like to a lot of folks.
Well, so here's the other thing that you got to consider, and yeah, like I'm gonna like pivot back to Kojima for a minute because there's a metaphor here, right? You've got a developer walking in literally with like a fucking WWE entrance, right? Like the door opens, yeah. There's light pouring out. It's like you see Kojima's outline. It's literally like he's ascending from the heavens.
You'd be
right?
mistaken for thinking Kojima invented the video game.
In a fucking year where 10,000 developers have lost their jobs.
Not a single line, not one sentence about the layoffs.
And we are bending the knee and worshiping one man.
Most famous for not like for getting fired and managing to come back, right? Like,
that's another thing. Look at the sheer amount of time Keighley had previously spent on Kojima getting fired from Konami, one man getting fired from a company over a game that went massively over budget and past its deadlines.
So, like, what is it? So here's the thing, right? Whatever. that initial, the initial like 2 years pre Death Stranding makes sense. Whatever. We were all upset about Kojima getting fired, right? It was a bad situation. Whatever. Keighley was like the biggest name to say like, yo, Konami screwed up, right? It was like him and Del Toro going back and forth. Sure. And then it gets tiring out when it's like every single year we get this weird, we get this really, really weird and misplaced worship when there are other, when there are people who are literally at your award show, there to receive awards, there to like, you know, kind of keep this thing alive, who are like, you know, struggling. Like, what is it? In just during the week alone of like the Game Awards, wasn't there another closure or another group of layoffs? Yeah.
There were probably several.
Today.
Yeah.
Today.
And Bracer keeps fucking striking. Yeah. But like, and we have not only have all these like indie devs at the Game Awards who need the platform, right? And need the opportunity to speak, need the opportunity to tell their stories in a way that Kojima does not, because Kojima has such a fucking name that he can, he does not need that level of promotion for free.
He doesn't.
But, and again, that's not to say he can't have it, but like, there's other people who need that if we're talking about need. And if we're talking about importance, why are names in the industry like Eiji Aonuma and Sam Lake getting fucking like shepherds hooked off the stage after 30 seconds when they don't even speak English as their first
language?
Those
are names. One of them had a fucking interpreter with him on stage. Yeah.
Eiji Aonuma is more the man behind Zelda than Miyamoto at this point. You're telling the man behind Zelda, get the fuck out of here. Gonzo has to fuck a chicken.
Like, you know, I know that, by the way. Like, by the way, what the fuck was Gonzo there? Like, I thought
there's
he was
been
actually
a Muppet thing
at
every one of these because I think Jeff Keighley just liked the Muppets growing up. And I who like amongst us didn't
look, but probably do the same thing. So
no, but here's the thing. It's only funny when they're there to like interrupt or like talk over an important category, like Games for Change or something. Now it's just
that's
embarrassing.
Why Animal worked. Yeah. Right, exactly.
It was funnier when like what is it, Beaker was there when like fucking like the Games for Impact like award was being given because it's so wildly inappropriate. Now it's just like taking up time.
Next year the Game Awards, we're gonna see Overcooked 3 announced and the fucking Swedish Chef is gonna come out and go girdle, girdle, girdle.
No, that makes too much sense.
That's actually a good idea.
That makes too much sense. When we're gonna have a Muppet we're gonna have a Muppet talk over a woman for like 3 minutes straight.
Heck yeah.
I will there we go. That's like, Kojima's thing.
So I think, you know, this is a sentiment that I saw just being, sorry, I'm looking at the Gonzo fucks chickens.
He does.
Stuff
he does right fuck now. A chicken.
This is like a sentiment Gonzo. That I share. And it's a sentiment that I saw being passed around, you know, the night of and a couple days after the Game Awards, and that just call it Winter E3 and stop giving fucking awards. What's the point? Yeah. Like,
DICE
like,
exists.
You know, if you are not going to, if you're not going to respect the process enough or respect the devs enough, then drop the fucking charade and just do Winter E3 and let someone else do an actual fucking award show where people can sit there. We actually celebrate people in the industry. We celebrate the people who make these games. We don't take massive fucking categories like best multiplayer game and best RPG and shunt them off to like either off camera to like essentially off camera wins.
Not accessibility in the pre-show.
Right.
Accessibility in the pre-show. Like, what is that?
So
what is that?
And like, it's also, and like, okay, so I'm going to tie into something that's being talked about in chat, but like the worship for Hollywood at every one of these events is really frustrating.
Oh my God. Here's the thing. Okay. Here's my thing.
I do want to briefly defend Anthony Mackie, who we were all making fun of in the moment for seeming like an actual crazy person. But I have since heard from people who were at the event that like, we could not hear on the stream how insane that crowd was to him. He was, because they're not mic'd up. You can't hear them on the fucking microphones. Mm-hmm. But he basically was dealing with just like hordes of people like screaming his own quotes back. Like it was, he walked into what was maybe one of the most aggressive and unruly crowds he'd ever dealt with.
Right. So, and the whole crowd was screaming on your left. On your left.
Just shit like on that to him. Yeah. So like he was actually like people who were there who have talked about it have said like he handled that about as well as a human being could have, and he was done dirty the stream making it seem like he was talking to a quiet crowd and yelling at ghosts. But no, like, why is Timothy fucking Chalamet? I get that he had an Xbox controller modding YouTube channel one time.
Xboxes 10 years ago, Derek.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
And it's an annoyance because look, we had fucking Tribeca doing some weird gaming thing. Here's my thing. Video games can never be respected as an art form if they're trying their hardest to legit. It's the same problem Marvel fans have had with the art, with art, with these art house directors criticizing them. You already have everything you could possibly want. You have acclaim, you have money, you have, like, you're at the top of the zeitgeist. Video games are at that point too. Everyone's fucking playing
Fortnite.
Stop
chasing approval from a completely different artistic like avenue.
Stop it.
Just do your shit.
Look, Idris Elba didn't show up to your fucking
fake
awards.
He doesn't fucking need to
because
he didn't give a shit.
He doesn't care. He's doing important shit.
He could not give a shit.
Everyone there looked like they were forced to be there. The only one who looked genuinely excited was fucking Simu Liu, but he's not a real fucking movie star. Of course he's going to fucking be excited to show up to this goddamn like Mickey Mouse thing. People finally want to recognize him. It's ridiculous that Jeff wants to capture this. You know what? He wants to be the Oscars of like game award shows. He's already there. The Oscars mean jack shit because they're all terrible. Yeah. You got to that point. You're just now trying to throw in some weird Hollywood, you know, jerking off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, really quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the most frustrating thing to me about everything you said, because you're correct. You're 100% correct, CJ. Make no mistake. But the big thing to me that frustrates even further is the Game Awards can have a unique DNA. You know what you would never see at the Oscars is everyone from Remedy and Sam Lake dancing to
that would be a great fucking moment.
Like, that's incredible. Lean into that. That is something that only the Game Awards could provide as a show. And it is fun. It's entertaining. Yes. And it's a really cool moment for them, but also it directly ties into, hey, Alan Wake 2, you want to talk about an art house game? Alan Wake 2 is an art house game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of incredible that it got made. Exactly. Celebrate that. That is worthy of just taking a few minutes to be indulgent. Even stuff like Heilung, you know, just a very, very different band. They're not like a mainstream group or anything.
That was cool.
The music for Hellblade 2, premiering one of the songs for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Like, you can have these big entertaining moments, but you need to find the DNA.
Don't be ashamed of what you are. Look, Roger Ebert's dead. He can't hurt you by saying games aren't art anymore. What are you guys fucking afraid of? Yeah.
We do not need Hollywood actors to like several of them per show to try to lend credibility to the medium of video games. Like,
it's
gaming
the highest grossing
gaming,
like, medium in the entire world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and regardless of the money talk, right? Gaming has its own artists, its own auteurs, its own celebrities. Matt fucking Mercer came out for part of this. And like, Mercer is legitimately is a celebrity at this point. He comes from gaming and anime, but like gaming.
But look,
right?
Like, okay, like, to your point, Kojima is like the example of
why
it.
Was
Sam Lake, Kojima, yeah. Sam Lake, Anuma, all these guys are the auteur. Ed Boon,
literally gaming.
All
royalty.
These guys
I
are the
if
auteurs.
If Kojima was selected to give the Game of the Year award, you would have heard nothing from me, despite like how I feel about that man, and especially about his relationship with Jeff. I'd be like, that's a gaming celebrity here to give out Game of the Year. That makes sense.
Why
to
the
me.
Fuck is Timothy Chalamet here? Like,
like
that Wonka money, bro.
Here's the thing. Where's Gabe Newell? Where's Reggie? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they couldn't get Gabe Newell.
No, you couldn't get Gabe for anything. But
I'm gonna drop some knowledge on you guys. The Game Awards are not about video games.
No, it is about Jeff making Hollywood connections, raising his profile, making advertising money, making connections. Like, it is purely a Jeff serving vehicle. Same
I
as
don't
Summer
think
Games
that's
Fest
how
was.
It started for him, but that's what it's become.
I think that was always the goal.
No, it's always because look, he did this to Spike and like Spike's what is it, Spike and G4, whatever, right? It's all
Spike,
him.
G4,
everything, every and you know, good on him because they fucking suck. But it's like everything. Think about it. E3. He had a big part in that, you know, during its like inception. Obviously, now it's falling apart, so now it's his chance to kind of pounce on that.
As
E3
was dying, like, he took the opportunity to take hot shots at them, like, and now E3 is dead for good.
So think about it like this: Jeff Keighley now is the shorthand for like everything game related and as far as like media, right? Everything with announcements and things.
Terrible host.
100, the lack of charisma this man emits. He needs to be holding a bag of Doritos for anything to come out of his mouth to be interesting. 100%. Jeff Keighley needs to change this up. Or maybe don't do it at all. If we all ignore it, it'll probably disappear.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Because
I mean,
year,
I don't think
Awards,
we're doing the Game Awards anymore. Like, I don't think I can in good, I don't think we can
do it twice
with
you guys
anymore.
I dine it twice with you guys. Sam, I love you.
We say so that much. Now, but we'll probably
do it next time. We'll probably do a reaction to it, but like, man, after. I just can't. You know, this is first. So, these are brutal to sit through. Dude.
I watched the Oscars for the first time in like a decade with my friends, like last year, and I wanted to kill myself. How do you think I felt watching the Game Awards?
Yeah.
Truly, yeah, for the second time in a row.
It's one thing if Keeley doesn't want to talk about Palestine, which, like, again, fine, like that stuff's important to me. But I get, like, you want to make the argument, this isn't the shit that we're here for, whatever. But like, dude, couldn't even talk about the layoffs, man.
The layoffs, like, is the thing to me.
That's, dude, couldn't even give the people who won the awards, who made all of these games, like, time on stage because his boyfriend needed to come up and talk about, you know, a fucking dream he had. Like, it's,
and like, I get it. Yeah, I get it. 8 minutes, Christopher Judge, I know you set a record that was unacceptable last year. Like, okay, I'll be fair and say that, like, sure, there is a balance between 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
There's a midpoint. Jeff Keighley, they have averages in Canada. You can find a middle point.
Or what you could do is stop shoving a ton of game award or game announcements in there and just actually run this as a
if we had fewer sketches,
I would fucking watch.
If we didn't give 5 minutes to Anthony Mackie and we didn't give 2 minutes to Gonzo and we had a few fewer announcements, and we didn't have ad breaks, which of course is never gonna fucking happen.
Like, dude, do a two-parter. Do an announcement show and then do an actual fucking award show like the next day or something. I would watch both.
And that's the sin, it's trying to be both. It's trying to be the reveals and trying to be the awards. And that's
the Oscars aren't that.
Right.
The Oscars aren't that. So there's,
the reason you don't get Marvel trailers at the fucking Oscars. Like,
dude, I would kill myself.
It's probably fucking late now because people expect announcements at the
end. You always hear like, oh, I don't only watch this for the reveals and stuff. I'm like, what? Then you don't care about, you know what I'm saying? You just want to,
you're
going to
get trailers as soon as it's done. So it doesn't actually matter. Like, it's hard because, like, the DICE Awards...
I don't know about you guys. I would sit down and actually watch an hour and a half, 2 hour fucking award show with fucking awards.
The hard part is, like, that's the DICE Awards, right? And as Greg Miller pointed out, nobody fucking watches them.
Yep, like, I don't want to get props to him, but yeah, true.
I don't, I mean, like, you know, complicated feelings about Greg Miller. You know, he's not a bad guy.
Like, no, but it's true. But,
like,
it's like,
but he's correct. Like, they put on a show that is about and for and, like, highlighting the developers, and nobody fucking tunes in. So like, people need to put their money where their mouth is and watch award shows and care about, and I've been so happy to see so many different media outlets, like, give voice to, award winners and nominees alike. After
we
the
bring
Game
up
Awards.
Reb Valent, Reb's
Reb
article.
Did a fantastic piece.
Excellent piece.
You know,
excellent fucking piece,
you know, of the awards winners who didn't even get a chance to, you know, get on stage. You know,
and you could. Reading that article is a very gentle but very stinging rebuke at Jeff Keighley.
It is. I think also, like, look at the number of, I mean, the fact that, like, the guy from Larian, right, had to make a Twitter thread about what his speech would have been if he got to give it. Like, yeah. And that's the dude who won Game of the fucking Year.
That's fucking nuts.
And it's like, the I do think that the press, not just the press and, like, the enthusiast reaction, but the regular reaction coming out of this is, like, it's bad for Jeff Keighley. I know regular ass people who don't have a Twitter account, right? Who are free from the hell. Regular ass people at work who were talking about how bad the Game Awards were, and talking about people not getting to give their speeches. Like, that's not good, dude. When Facebook normies are talking about this shit, it's not good.
Do we think, so you know that he got a ton of negative feedback from his peers in the industry. You know he did.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we think this changes next year?
Next year, everyone's going to get a minute. They're going to get a minute. But, like, part of the reason they got 30 seconds in the first place was to stop them from having the opportunity to talk about any of the things they didn't want them to talk about. And when confronted on it, Keighley, like, blamed, like, oh, I think it was, like, an operator error.
Oh, my God.
And, like,
bullshit, it was. That's the worst part.
Because
you
throw your fucking
team under the bus.
Because anybody who's
ever
worked a special event, ever worked in broadcast, ever worked any of that, like, bro, your show went off exactly to the rundown. You ended at 11 p.m. Eastern, like, exactly.
And it has gone over in the past, by the way.
You nailed it, which means that you accounted for 30 seconds on each of these motherfuckers.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, no, this was a plan. And, like, Keighley, you're a fucking scumbag for lying about that shit and trying to pretend it was, Yep. It was horse, like, and that's the thing, is the fact that he's willing to lie about that shit, the fact that, like, the future class, again, as Arrow pointed out, got put behind a fucking camera jib, and also got way lower presence this year in terms of, like, talking about the future class than any previous year. That plus, like, dude, let's go ahead and put this on the table. We have personal experience with Keeley being shitty in John's DMs because of reasonable criticism of how Summer Games Fest handled freelance journalists, and Keeley came in acting like he was your fucking boss. About that
publicly.
We haven't, but it doesn't matter. Keeley was in your DMs trying to act like you were his fucking secretary and needed to give him evidence and shit over, like,
regular
criticism.
I'm like, fuck off.
So, like, I'm just of the opinion that maybe Jeff Keeley is a shitty human being, right? Whose entire existence is aligned with corporate power and corporate, like, capital. And, like, of course he didn't want to say anything about 10,000 layoffs in the gaming industry because he's on the side of the people doing the layoffs, right? Keeley sucks shit. And it's both in terms of where he stands as a person with capital and political power within the industry, but also just as a human being, he's a sucky person. He's shitty. He's petty. We know he's a petty person. We've heard stories from other journalists about him being personally petty with them. Right?
Fuck it, I'm gonna post the DMs.
So of course it doesn't fucking surprise me. Like, that's why I can believe that the future class got put behind the jib as a punishment. Because
I'm posting the DMs, Derek.
Fine. We know that Keeley sucks and he's a bad person. So, like, it's really sad that E3 is gone. Because, like, there were problems with the ESA, but E3 was what it was. And didn't pretend to be anything else and didn't pretend to be any better than an opportunity for, like, developers and publishers to show off their games.
Oh, it was. Even the worst of it, man. Fucking.
Yeah. And Keeley wants to pretend to have an awards show that is actually, like, advertisements. But even that is actually just a front for, like, him and his personal agenda to gain, like, connections and further political power and to highlight the specific people who have cozied up to him. So, like,
oh, he's like, he's the ambassador of video games.
Yeah,
like 100%.
That's what he's done. So suck my dick from the back, Keeley. This industry would be better without you, and you are single-handedly like a representation in one human body of the cancer that is destroying this industry from within. He is every single facet of it wrapped into one human being. He is the kind of person performing all of the layoffs. Right? He is the kind of person who, like, engages shitty fandoms against criticism. Like, he's all of it in one human being. And I want him gone. And it sucks that he's here to fucking stay.
And speaking of that, like, we don't have much time to talk about it, but it sucks, like, you know, for as shitty as the ESA is, like, it sucks that E3 is gone, and it sucks that this is what we have to replace it. This is our E3 replacement for the foreseeable future. Yeah. And that just sucks.
And the problem is, like, we can all sit here and talk shit, but, like, you know, I saw a lot. Here's the thing. I saw a lot of people who have the same anger and frustration as I have, but who also kind of tried to engage a little bit in, like, the finger pointing at people for supporting it. But it's like all of the most progressive, most socially engaged, most doing good motherfuckers in the industry I know went to the Game Awards. So, like, we're not in a position where we could, like, if we're going to do some finger pointing, the problem is there's nobody, like, left afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, everybody went to Summer Games Fest because you kind of don't have a choice not to. If you want to network, if you want to actually, like, do your job.
I mean,
job.
I didn't, but I'm freelance. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rarity if you can't.
You're specifically the type of person that wasn't going to be there.
It's like telling people to just quit their job if they don't like it, right? Like, it's hard when the thing that you dislike is tied to, like, I could bitch about child labor and I still own shoes. Ooh, you know what I mean? Like, I can't divorce myself from the situation.
I don't disagree at all, Derek. I think you've hit the nail on the head. The only thing I am going to very, very, very gently put out there with as much love for my colleagues as I can is, some outlets are on the voting jury and some aren't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm just putting that out there very politely.
I would love to see the outlets take a bigger stand about this shit. But you know, again, the outlets are corporations. That's the problem, is the outlets are corporations in the end.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, fuck.
Well,
so see you guys this time next year.
Nice Game Awards.
We'll see you before then, bud. But
all right, well, we'll go ahead and cut it off here. We'll be back next week. We got a big year coming up in 2024. We will be returning to PAX East next year. It's I was here this year, but this is the big podcast return.
Yeah, like six of us are going to be there. Holy shit!
Yeah, and we may or may not have a panel for you guys.
I submitted for one. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I'm hearing good things, Derek. Oh, I'm hearing good things. Derek, do you want to tell people what the topic of our panel will be if it gets approved?
We'll wait for the approval.
You want to wait?
Let's wait.
Okay. All right. We'll wait on that. But we will be there. Some of us have already gotten our media pass approvals, and I am sure that others on the team will as well.
So, yeah.
Please look for, as Square Enix would say, please be excited about that. Please look forward to that. Sam, thanks, buddy. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, anytime. Say the word, and assuming I'm not knocked out or drunk. Actually, you know what? Even if I'm drunk, I'll be here.
Yeah, that's when I really want you on here, is when you're drunk.
Exactly.
All right, everyone, take care of each other, and remember that kindness costs nothing. We'll see you next week.
Peace out. Play The Witcher 3.